In the name of the one who was and is to come. Amen. Well, I grew up in Oklahoma, and I'm not a farming kid by any stretch of the imagination. I was raised by MTV more than a farm. But I do know a little bit about farming, very little. And one of the things about cows that they were always trying to prevent them from when they were pasturing was not to get a hold of the bitter weed. Because if you learn from Napoleon Dynamite, the bitter weed would make it taste bad. So anyway, the cows would get into these bitter weeds, and they are kind of like, they're a variety of a mustard plant. And when they eat them, it taints the milk. It makes it taste, literally, bitter. And the farmers don't want these bitter weeds in the fields. They'll do everything they can to pluck them out before it takes over, because once you get the bitter weed in the field, it's really, really hard to get out. When Jesus uses parables like the mustard seed, I'd like you to understand it maybe in a slightly different way than you've heard it before. Because 95 out of 100 sermons I've heard on the mustard seed involve faith. If you have this really tiny faith, it sprouts and it blossoms into this very large thing that shelters the birds of the air. It's not bad. I think it's overused, but it's not bad. But I want you to hear what Jesus might be saying in a different way. When he talks about the kingdom of God, he is saying it's like a weed that gets in and you can't get it out. And no matter how hard you try, that weed shows up everywhere you go. It's a picture of the kingdom of God's relentless character. Now, sure, it can be all about faith and stuff. And parables are wonderful because you can read them different ways. It's like poetry. Don't ask a poet what his poem's about, or you're really going to get an earful. But the parables can be read differently. The parables can be read on different levels. And I'd like to invite you to think in this day that the mustard seed is a parable of the relentless character of God. He's going to show up. He's going to show up on the roadsides, in the barns, and in the fields. And you can't get rid of it no matter how hard you try. The kingdom of God shows up where you least expect it. I experienced some of that in Dulac, Louisiana. Our mission trip we had started on Sunday, last Sunday. We got back Friday night. And I have seen the relentless character of the kingdom of God working in Dulac since like the 1930s. There's a community center there, and they have been doing work with the Shrimpers of Dulac, who originally were the Houma Indians, and they have never, ever left. Now, their community center is a bit weedy. It's kind of falling apart in different places. The whole community of Dulac seems like it's just on the verge of collapsing half the time. But the kingdom of God has shown up in Dulac in a mighty way, and it's blessed the people of Dulac, has blessed those who have come, and blessed those who have come back to their home churches. I had a wonderful experience. I want to do it again. I mean, like after this service, I'm like, Robbie, when do we get on the books for next year? Because the work of the people never stops. The kingdom of God is something that we can join in on, but the kingdom of God doesn't need us, but we sure can experience the benefits if we decide to get on board. So Dulac, it is a shrimping village, and Jeff can correct me if I'm wrong later, but it's a shrimping village. It's very, very poor. They have these $200,000 shrimping boats, and some of them have really ramshackle houses that are barely standing. They live and breathe on the bayous. That is their life and their culture. It has been steeped in an incredible amount of history as Native Americans. And now they're facing economic pressures from other people who are kind of out shrimping them. The Vietnamese community has come in and they work night and day, and they're kind of beating them at their own game. So you've got a community that is steeped in culture, a community that is proud of its heritage, and you've got a community that loves Jesus, and they love Jesus. And when we go in there, we're not going in there to convert those Jesus-loving people. We're going in there to help them, to give them what I think is the most important missionary characteristic. The most important thing a missionary can do is to say, how can I serve you? How can I give you the dignity and the respect and the honor you so rightly deserve? So we had three opportunities to practice dignity and respect. There was one was a Thibodeau family. where my wife Kimberly worked relentlessly. Randy and Kimberly, they are obsessed. They are an obsessed couple. I mean, Randy, he took my wife and said, all right, here's what I want you to do, and she just would not stop working. Now, I've experienced this myself. Once you get Kimberly on a task, you have to literally yank her away from it. So Randy was kind of the pit boss of the whole thing, got it, kept it rolling, and they laid down some floors on a floor that probably is very, very difficult to level, but they did it anyway. And the Thibodeau family was a wonderful family, and I think probably the most amazing experience I had over outside of their house was that we are in a different world. I knew that we were in a different world when some of the kids got a four-wheeler and a rope and a cooler lid. And they decided it'd be really cool to go asphalt surfing with a four-wheeler and a rope and a cooler lid. Now, as an adult, I'm thinking, what about your copay at ER? And as a kid, I'm thinking, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen, ever. I wanted to do it so bad I could taste it. So the Thibodeaus got a new floor, and more importantly, they got, to the degree that we were able, we gave them dignity and respect. And the second family was, the second individual was a guy named Roy. And Elliot will know Roy. He really knows Roy now. So that was, we put ceiling tiles up in their houses, in his house. And Roy was very proud of his house, to the point of driving Elliot and I right to the distraction. Because as he's putting up a tile, Roy is going, can you go over a little to the right? Down. Back a little bit to the left. Up. And that went for I don't know how many hours straight. And to Elliot's credit, he never once lost it. When I think, if the Lord is good, because the Lord had placed me in that house, I think I would not have been representing Jesus very well that day. And then my crew, the kids and Robbie and Ngosi and others, we got probably the most amazing woman I've ever met. Her name is Miss Lillian. And Lillian is 83 years old, I think, if I remember right. She's 83 years old. She cannot read or write. She has 5 kids. I don't know how many dozens of grandkids and how many great, great grandkids and counting. She cooked a lunch for us every single day that she could. So we're here to paint her deck, to strip her deck and to paint it. And she would just bring us into her house and she would show us all the things. And she spent the morning making these shrimp patties for us. And the next day it was jambalaya. And the next day it never stopped. And for my kids, she's got these Texan kids and they may not go for the food that she was making. She decided to make mac and cheese for the rest of them. She hosted us with more spirit and kindness than I've ever encountered with anyone, like anyone in my life. And I consider it a privilege to have known her, a privilege to have blessed her, and a privilege to have done the things that she wanted us to do. Because I think one thing I'm learning about mission, too, is so often when we go on mission trips, we think that, you know, we've got the tools, the experience, the people will do what you need to have done. But what we need to do is what they want us to do. What we need to do is the things that are most important to them. And at least with Miss Lillian, I learned that painting her deck was the most important thing. Now, her house has kind of fallen apart. The plumbing doesn't work real well, and the doors are kind of off kilter, but she wanted her deck to look like it did before her husband died. She wanted the deck to be a presentation for people who came to her house that showed us that it was a beautiful place to be. And because of that, I mean, I would have painted her deck 4 times over. I mean, I wanted to do whatever Lillian wanted me to do because I knew she really wanted that house to remind her of the days when her husband was with her. So I felt like the experience of going on a mission trip was a privilege. I loved having my kids there. So next year, you need to bring yourself and your kids too. They found stuff for them to do. They weren't just make work jobs. They actually were things that we made a difference in the people's lives. And for that, I'm grateful to you for your support. I'm grateful to you for the 20-plus people who went, both from Louisiana and here in Ascension. I want to thank Jeff and Randy for all their work and kind of getting us up to speed, and Robbie for all of the endless logistics that she had to deal with, for my kids, for Lauren McNulty who came, for Ngozi who never ever stopped painting those slats. We had these wood slats on the porch, and I swear there was 4,000 of these things. And they all had to be painted by hand. And so Ngozi just did slat after slat after slat after slat. And I thought, the Lord is good, and the body of Christ needs all gifts, and I should never hang ceiling tiles, and I should never, ever paint slats if I want to keep my sanity. But I still want to thank for all the people who went on the mission trip, for Kimberly, who was relentless, for Randy, who left his shoes as a donation to Dulac, Louisiana, because the floor was so sticky, it literally pulled his shoes off of his feet and kind of got him ruined. So if I haven't mentioned everybody, I'm sorry, but I love the Knight Riders out there with us. And I think Leslie kind of had her share of slats, too. So thank you to Sam and Michaela and Madison for their wonderful work. And they experienced the ceiling tile debacle with Roy. But, you know, every bit of it was grace. Every bit of it was joy. Every bit of it for the chance to bless others with humility and with joy was a gift I consider priceless. Amen.